Amen. Keep running, y'all. Who's been running this week? Who's been running a little bit harder, a little bit stronger? Anybody with me? A few of you are. Then today is definitely for you because some of y'all are looking at me like, what's he talking about? I done forgot already. It is super duper good to be here because it's warm up in the house. Anybody else just, I went outside. We had a tree that had fallen right in the driveway as you're leaving, you're exiting. And Brad and I went out to move it. And Brad moved it. I assisted. And I got in the truck 3 seconds later in my hands. I was just like, ah! How many of you were like that this morning when you're trying to scrape the ice or do whatever you did this morning? It was cold, but we are here, and I'm praying that this morning that your soul is lit on fire. Amen? Because here's the thing. My soul is excited because after 3 years of working hard and paving the way, my family is about to take, for us, what is the trip of a lifetime. And we are going to Orlando on Saturday. We are going to Disney World, and I am super thankful that the Lord has seen fit to take us there, to allow us to develop all that needed to be developed, and God blessed us in so many different ways through different people, and it's exciting. And so guess who's speaking next week? Woo, get ready. Stephen Powell's in the house. So y'all be sure to support him. Give him the same respect and attention and support that you do me. And I know he's going to do a great job. It's going to be a great day as he wraps up this series. And so last week, we challenged you to keep running, to move forward. Amen? And let me ask you, though, as you have moved forward, as we look at Philippians 3:14 today, how many of you, as you have been running, you've already, in all honesty, hit an obstacle this week? I'm waiting. Obstacles are all around us. They're in front of us. They're beside us. They're in places that we don't know they're going to be. They're waiting around corners, and we know who is the tempter, right? We know who is the one that wants to create spiritual warfare in us in a way that just causes us to steer away from running. We're weak. We're broken, and we need to acknowledge our great need of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we look at Philippians 3:14, it says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so today, we acknowledge together that along the way, we're going to encounter some obstacles. In all honesty, right now, what are they? Now, don't start spitting them out. I mean, you can start confessing them. If it's sin, you can fall on your face and start praying. But what are your obstacles? You're doing good. You're running hard. You're trucking along. I'm going to pursue Jesus with everything that I am this week. I got this. I'm going to keep running. I'm not going to quit, Ryan. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to settle. And then without a doubt, some of you hit obstacles on Sunday afternoon before you even made it home. Monday, as you went to work, you're doing well throughout the week, and then maybe midweek Wednesday, you hit another obstacle. And it's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating as you're going along the way that you think everything's good and things are going to be better and things seem to be shining brighter in your life, and then you hit that wall. And it's seems near impossible for you to continue to run. Frank Clark said, if you can find a path with no obstacles, it probably does not lead anywhere. How many of you would agree with that? That a life that is driven with purpose, you have a vision for your life, you want to see great things happen, that you believe that God has created you for an amazing plan with great purpose, but yet we continue to hit obstacle after obstacle. So what in the world are we to do? What are you to do to get all jacked up on Jesus and walk out of here last week, I'm going to keep running? And then bam, there it is. You hit that obstacle. And a lot of times when I'm counseling or encouraging folks and they're talking about the obstacles they hit, there's something that I like to put before you. Some of you learn better this way by picturing what is before you. And so here we all are. All of us represent this beautiful stick figure right here. And we're going to put a smile on our face because we are running, right? We are pressing on. We are moving forward. But here we are. We're running this week. We're running in our life. And our ultimate prize, the ultimate goal, is Jesus. Amen? And so we're running, and then guess what happens? We hit this big old honking wall, this obstacle, and we're like, what am I going to do now? What in the world am I going to do now? I feel like I've done so well. And so often, one of the things that we're tempted to do is because maybe that wall for you is some type of sin. Maybe that wall for you is something that is immovable, that you don't see ever leaving your life. And so what we try to do is we try to go around it, right? We try to, well, in my past experience, this works. So I'm going to try this. I'm going to try to get up on around that wall, that obstacle. Well, guess what? That wall is never ending. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. Well, daggone it. Well, I'm just going to run away from it. I'm tired of dealing with it. I've had to deal with it time after time after time. I'm doing well. I'm running. There's the obstacle. There it is. It was inevitable. So I might as well just quit. I might as well just run away from this. And we know that's not the solution. We talked about that last week. But also what happens is when we don't trust in Jesus, we don't continue to run towards Jesus, we allow the obstacles to hit us square in the face, we begin to sin. We begin to deal with it in our own nature, in our own strength, in our own experiences of the past. And sometimes what happens to deal with the pain of the obstacle, we continue to tap into other forms of filling that void in our heart to ease that pain of the obstacle or whatever it is that it's causing in our life. And so we're moving about, we hit the obstacle, and then we stop and we take 3 or 4 steps back. And because of that sin, so often you feel like you got to start at ground zero once again. And I want to encourage you this morning that whatever your obstacle is, whatever it is in your life that is causing you to continue to hit that obstacle, just because you stumble along the way, just because you don't know necessarily how to overcome the obstacles in your life, does not mean that you start over. Instead, you acknowledge as you are progressing, part of your sanctification process, becoming more like Jesus. You are growing. You are building up strength. You are preparing the way for next obstacles, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. It's not easy. And so for you today, before we can move forward with 4 steps to overcome the obstacles, what is it in your life that you would consider to be an obstacle? Is it bitterness? Is it blame? Is it you just a negative person, always complaining? Is it addiction? Is it pain, physically, emotionally? Is it friends? Is it the people around you, your peers? Because it says that you're most like the top 5 people you spend the most time with. Is it procrastination? Envy, fear, failure, school, excuses, negativity, finances, perfectionism, or complacency? It's very important that you name what it is today, because you will not be able to continue to move forward in your life. You will not be able to keep running and grab hold of that baton and hand it into the hand of the anchor, the one that's sprinting towards the finish line for us, and that's Jesus. You will not be able to move forward today, the rest of 2019, if you do not take captive whatever it is that hinders you, whatever that obstacle is, name it. So what do you do when obstacles come? 4 steps today to overcoming life's obstacles. You ready? Number one, we've been talking about him for the last 2 weeks. We've been talking about him for 2,000 plus years. Actually, a lot longer than that if you read the Old Testament. His name is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is, say it with me, Jesus. Our first and foremost effort, our first action, our first thought must be Jesus. Now, 2 weeks ago we talked about that we needed to be captivated by Jesus, that our focus needed to be on Jesus. And then last week it was moving forward. And how does that look? And today, of course, overcoming obstacles. It's so easy today to say that I love Jesus. I love him with everything that I am. But I'm human, Ryan. I'm weak. I obviously can't do this in my own strength. I acknowledge that, and I'm supposed to put all my focus on Jesus. But let me ask you today, what does that look like for your life? Come on. Putting Jesus first, meaning to go forward, we've got to look to Jesus first, as it says in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Listen, it says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. There is a world of effort right there within those two verses. When it says, look to Jesus, what does that mean to you to continue your lives in him, rooted? What does rooted look like for us? Built up in him, strengthened in my faith as I was taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here's what I want to read to you this morning. And this is what I've read to a couple different groups already this morning, because this is when we're to focus on Jesus. When we think about this place and what God is doing in this place and through this place and the buzz that is occurring in the community. We talked about on staff this week that we're really not concerned that we got wax on a chair and in the floor and stains on the carpet and a lot of different things that need to happen in this place as intermediate solutions to the growth. Because here's the thing, as we continue to strive forward and commit for a tsunami-sized wave of Holy Spirit power to pour out upon us and over us and through our families, our marriages, and our kids, then guess what? It doesn't matter if we don't have all those things, as long as we know that the presence of an Almighty God is with us, and that is what we are about. That is our foundation. And guess what? It don't matter if we got stains, wax, and paint needed, and seats needed, and this and that, and a building out back, or any of that. People will continue to come if they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit when they come on this campus. Amen? Amen. But when we're talking about focusing on Jesus, John Wesley, in his journal entry on January 1st, 1739, said this. This is what we're praying will happen in our services here, but not just on Sunday morning. This can happen in your home. This can happen in your marriage. This can happen over your grandkids. And this is what I'm praying is the type of experience that we begin to get a taste of while we're here together. He said, Mr. Hall, Kinchin, Ingham, Whitfield, Hutchins, and my brother Charles were present at our love feast in Fetter Lane with about 60 of our brethren. About 3 in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried out for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. As soon as we were recovered a little from the awe and amazement of the presence of His Majesty, we broke out with one voice. We praise thee, O God. We acknowledge thee to be the Lord. So when I'm talking about focusing on Jesus, I'm talking about two things this morning. Number one, what we're believing to happen in here. And that you free yourself to experience Jesus. So let me shoot straight with y'all. There's so many followers of Jesus that don't ever experience a fresh touch from him because of these and many other things. And secondly, when you focus on Jesus, when you look at Psalm 37:4, and he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We've talked about the more you delight yourself in him, that his desires are going to become your desires. It's no longer what you want in this world, but you want whatever his will is for your life. And so you're going to delight yourself in him above everything else in your life. So what does that look like for you on Monday? Are you in the Word of God? Are you writing down in a spiritual journal what he's doing, what he's teaching you? Are you on your knees praying for this country instead of griping and complaining on social media or at work on Monday? Are you praying for your grandchildren to come to know Jesus? Are you praying for provision and protection over your family? Are you praying that God would help you to break through the obstacles so that your marriage can finally experience the love that you once tasted when you said, I do? Are you spending time with the creator of the universe? That's what it means to focus on Jesus. Are you carving out time in your day? This isn't something for us to look at this first step and say, well, I'm not going to be able to listen to the next three steps because I obviously am not doing that first one. Let's not be legalistic about this and say that it's about checking the dots and I've done my Bible reading today, I've prayed, now I'm done, I move on about my life. But it's understanding, as we talked about on the 30th, of what it looks like to pray continuously, to live continuously, that your life with Jesus is to be a lifestyle, that everything that you do, the decisions that you make, is to be an act of worship. That's what it means to focus on Jesus. So I stand here today. If you want to break through the obstacles in your life, the first step is to acknowledge that I've got to begin cultivating this relationship with Jesus. I don't know what it looks like. I don't necessarily know how to step forward, but I'm willing, and I'm willing to keep running. I'm willing to keep moving forward. What does that look like for you? Each and every one of you is different today, but what does it look like for you today to focus on Jesus? And the second step to overcoming your obstacles is to undo. All right, I'm focused on Jesus. I've got him in my mind. I've got him in my soul. I want to please him with my life. Well, the next thing that we've got to do is to undo the sinful behaviors in our life. We've got to detach from the habitual sins that are in our life. Amen. Come on, even if you don't like what I'm saying today, you can agree with me and say, yes, I get it. I've been there before. I've been in a relentless pursuit of Jesus, and then I got snagged and I got hit, and these daggum obstacles hit, and I know without a doubt that it was the sin in my life that caused the obstacles in my life, and I am not willing to let go of it. I know what it is, and I make excuses for it. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and you're going to hear more about this next week, let us throw off everything. Listen this morning. My heart is aching for the church. We've got to understand the steps in being able to move forward in our life, because so many of us are stuck right here. We're stuck and we don't know how to move forward. The obstacles in our life, and you see it all over people's faces. You see it in their countenance that there's obstacles that you're facing. There's things that you're experiencing, and you don't take the steps that you need to overcome the obstacles. But I'm here to tell you that if you pay attention to what I'm saying this morning, you will have the ability to overcome the obstacles, and you will experience something greater than you've ever experienced in your life before. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. Because sometimes, y'all, the obstacles that are in our way are because of the sinful choices that we continue to make. And you know what those are. I know what they are in my life. I know not to find someone in my life to go gripe and complain and say, I don't know why all this is happening in my life, because the Holy Spirit is alive in me and He makes it very clear to me what I am doing that is hindering my walk. The attitudes that I have, the sinful choices that I take in as a part of my life, I know what they are, just like you today, as we're sitting here today, know exactly what sins are in your life that are habitual and that are causing you to settle in the life that God has for you. Amen? But here's the thing, because of the cross, followers of Jesus are no longer chained to living in sin. We are free to walk away from sin by the power of God, the power of the resurrection. Who wants to claim the power of the resurrection over their life today? Anybody? It's our choice. It's your choice. No matter what your background is, it's your choice. No matter what anybody has ever done to you, it's your choice. No matter what type of upbringing you have, it's your choice to remain in sin, because we find that short-lived pleasure, don't we? And it's so short-lived that we continue to grab hold of it because we don't know how to do anything else. We've continued to live our lives for 10, 15, 25 plus years of continuing to grab hold of whatever that is. And we can't expect obstacles to dissipate until we confess and repent of our sinfulness. Who's with me? So we put our focus on Jesus and we are asking Him. We are sowing for a great awakening, for a revival to sweep through your life and pockets like your neighborhoods and your workplaces, and definitely here in our midst. Focusing on Jesus, understanding the second step is to undo the chains of bondage in our life. And then guess what you're ready to do? When you look at the wall, your ultimate mark is heaven and spending eternity with Him. And that should be your motivation for life. But what other marks, what other goals has God set for you in your life? What are the things that are out here that they're not more important than Jesus? They're not more important than your eternal security, but they are something. There's a vision. There's a goal that God has set out before you. And I challenged you last week to not quit, to grab hold of that dream once again, to let that vision unfold in front of you once more, to unveil some of those roots that are deep that you know you can't escape. Set your mark and get after it. Set your mark on the prize. Is your prize a healthy marriage? Outside of Jesus, your marriage, for those of you who are married, and then those of you who are dating, guess what? For those of you who are married, that's your number one goal outside of Jesus. And if you're not married, your goal is to understand that you are spiritually responsible for whoever you are dating. And then if you're not dating anybody, you're single, then you are preparing the way for whatever it is that God has in store for you. When that bombshell babe walks in front of you and you know who it is, or when that hunk walks in front of you, you know, and y'all start connecting, you are still to prepare the way for the ultimate prize by honoring Jesus in your lifestyle, by honoring Jesus in the way that you treat one another. But I'm here to tell you, if your mark is your marriage, no matter who you are, if you're married, that should be your next mark. I don't think my marriage is ever going to be what it was when I first got married. You're missing the point. You're not running anymore. You're quitting on me. You're saying I can't. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen? And so, my husband, he's stubborn. He won't do this or that. Well, start praying for him. Start believing in the power of the resurrection over his butt. Start praying for him to be miserable until he gets rid of whatever it is where he can put his focus on you as his queen. And if it, vice versa, if it's her, that she's just a stubborn, seasoned individual, and she won't pay no attention to what I'm trying to do and the way I'm trying to lead this family. Start praying. Start loving. Start serving. You look at your spouse and you outserve them. How can I outserve? Not the caveman mentality. Go make me a sandwich. Go get me a beer. You better not put no shoes on. You're supposed to be barefoot in that kitchen. I ain't gonna go there. I just may need to run for president. I want you to believe this morning in the power of the resurrection over your spouse. I want to ask you to commit that as you're focusing on Jesus, you're committing to undo the sins in your life, and now you're ready to set the mark that you're not going to allow any obstacles anymore to hinder you from achieving. That your first one's your marriage. The second one is your kids. No more excuses. Some of you know that some of the obstacles that you are allowing in the way of raising your kids to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind and all their strength, is because you won't say no. Not necessarily no to them, which we need to say that too. But there's some stuff in your life that you need to say no to so that your kids see that you value them more than the cell phone. So that your kids see that you are communicating that they are more important in your life than your job. So your kids see that when they spill water or milk or juice, or they make little messes like kids are going to do, that it's okay, and that your daddy and your mommy is going to be grace-filled, because guess what? I spilled a whole lot of milk and juice in my day. Point being, set your mark on your marriage. Set your mark on your kids. And then whatever else it is, whatever dreams that God has put in your life, if it's dreams in your workplace, believe in the power of the resurrection over your life, over your marriage, over your kids, over your dreams, over the vision that God has placed in your heart, and believe. Believe in God to do what only He can do. Focus on Jesus. Undo those sins and set your mark. And get after it. Martin Luther King said, courage is an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Courage is an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Jesus first. Undo second. Mark, set those marks. And get after it. Start running harder than you ever have. And the fourth. So we got to learn the power of prayer. Twenty-one days of prayer goes into its last week this week. And we are never concerned if it's two people. There's three of us up here this morning. But guess what? Where two or more are gathered? Watch out, boy. You better watch out. Because the prayers that we are praying every morning at 6 a.m. in this worship center are going to set your life on fire if you listen. It's going to set your home on spiritual fire, excuse me. Your soul to be equipped to run and believing in a supernatural power to overwhelm us and believing that we are sowing for a great awakening to occur in and through this place, and that a Holy Spirit-infused cloud would overwhelm Huntsville, Alabama. Amen? And that when we pray, that we understand that that is the first thing that I should do. When obstacles come, I need to set my focus on Jesus. I need to check my heart and make sure there's no sin in my life that's creating this obstacle in my life. I need to set my mark and say that I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep running. But guess what? The first place that I need to go is to my knees. Not to Facebook. Not to mama and daddy. Not to my coworkers. Not to some shrink. Not to... I love you all, whoever goes to a psychiatrist. I don't need to care about putting my feet in my mouth. Because they're human too. But the first place that we need to go is on our knees. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen? So I want to ask you this morning, would you like to see your biggest setbacks transformed into your greatest comebacks? Who's with me? Would you like to move from victim to victor? Who's with me? Would you like to know how to navigate through your deepest, darkest valleys that you consider your obstacles? Are there mountains that you need moved in your life today? Are there some of you walk in here today and no matter what is ever said, you are feeling hopeless and you feel sunk in a pit of seemingly never-ending despair? Who's with me this morning? That you want to see victory occur in your life? Anybody want to see victory? Do you want to see freedom experienced in your marriage? Do you want to see healing occur in that relationship? Anybody with me this morning? Anybody following? You know how we've been rolling in 2019, and when I ask you a question, you still look at me. I can't read your head. I can't hear your head nod. What I need from you is a little bit of audible explanation of where your soul is this morning. It's okay. And I will say that for the next 2.5 years or 121 Sundays. Amen? Amen? Because when there's something that happens in your soul that you're excited about, you can't help it. All right, just like the staff, we were having an all-staff meeting last week, and one of the staff members was talking about that. Go to Hampton Cove. They brought their 4-year-old daughter, and their 4-year-old daughter walked out in the lobby, and they looked at the daddy and said, "Why is that man angry?" And they just looked at him and said, "He's just passionate." Let's all be passionate together, no matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you've ever prayed out loud or not. Start praying. Start praying out loud while I'm preaching. I bet you I can keep going. Start running up and down the aisles because you're so excited, because you're so overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you haven't run, you got a hip replacement or two. You can run. You can walk a little fast. You can do a little bit of worm for Jesus. I bet you I can keep going, all right? You know why? Because God is a mobile God. Too often in our churches, we are not mobile. I believe in everything in me that we were meant to express our love for Jesus in the same way that we express our love for everything else. Roll Tide, right? You hearing me? War Eagle. I mean, I see some of the videos of y'all in your living room when you're watching a ball game, and I just pray that you will do that the next day on Sunday morning. That when you hear the scripture opened and read, that it does something to you. That it so excites your soul. This should communicate something to you this morning, not instead, "Here we go again. He's going down that broken record again." I will say it till I'm blue in the face, because if I could dance, I would. If I could do the worm, I would. But I want to encourage you as we move forward, you don't have to wait till amen. You don't have to wait till the song is going to the next song. You get up and you move, you stand, you shout. Anytime you are feeling moved, because if you're not, you're being disobedient. Oh, you had to go there, didn't you? All right. Word. So here's the thing. We must seek Jesus. Undo the sin in our life. Set our marks and pray. Well, Ryan, why is the points in the alliteration jump? Why are you telling me to jump? I'm telling you that when that obstacle hits, instead of trying to go around it in your own efforts, instead of trying to run away, just quit, I give up. I want you to acknowledge who's standing on the top of that wall, waiting for you to finally jump in his hands. And watch who will pull you over that obstacle. And then set you on a path towards victory. So my challenge to you as the band comes forward is to jump. Keep running. And then jump. You're going to look like Super Mario. You're going to be running. That obstacle comes and you're going to jump. And you're just going to keep going. If you ever played Super Mario or any games like that, you are running. Your goal is to not stop. To keep running and then to just jump as the obstacle comes. To duck as you have to. But then you jump and you jump in the hands of Jesus. Who in the world's with me this morning? I'm asking, am I talking to a group of believers that I could take anywhere if I could walk all this daggum marching everywhere? Let's get on the streets of Huntsville and Winchester Road and Main Street down Henson Hills and let's march with our Jesus signs and that Jesus is above everything else. Jesus! Oh! Somebody stand with me this morning. There is so much more that I want to communicate today. As I said this morning in prayer, it's not about how well you debate on any platform. It's not about how pretty your sign is. I'm all about standing up for what's right. But I believe our country has gotten way beyond that. We need some men and women that claim the name of Jesus. That say, I will not be ashamed of the gospel. I will not relent in my workplace or even my home or my neighborhood. I will not stop when obstacles come. I am not going to sit there and give in. No matter what the government decides to do, guess what? I know who's in control. I know who's got the victory. And I know where I'm going to stand one day when it's before Jesus Christ. And it ain't about what any vote is going to say. It's not about what any decisions that's ever made. It's about the name of Jesus. And it's about followers of Jesus who are going to come together, they're going to link arms and say, you know what? The biggest difference that's going to be made now, the biggest difference that's going to be made now is not the next person that's going to rise up and have a platform. We're missing it. We're missing the one that's always had his platform. We're missing the one that's always had his say. We're missing the one that has always been in control. And we're missing the fact that we're settling when we give in to a society that wants to put all their strength and all their decisions and all their efforts on man instead of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today, I challenge you, whatever your obstacles are, jump. Amen? Amen. Jesus first, undo, mark, pray. And so as we pray, I'm kind of waiting for Joey to play. That would be really, just like, I'm kidding. One of my challenges is that I want to stand before you this year and be completely real with you about the direction of this place, about where my heart's at, because during 21 days of prayer, and I let it all out, and I don't always do that in the pulpit, from the stage. But what I want you to know this morning is that your staff is believing in a great awakening. And I want to ask you this morning if you're on board with that. Are you on board with the next Jesus movement that comes to this country? As ridiculous as some people are going to say, and start on Winchester Road. Because I'm telling you, there's pockets all around this nation of people that are praying 24/7. People are being saved. People are being baptized. I heard this morning of 3,000 baptisms in somewhere in Florida. That doesn't just happen. But I'm asking you, as scary as it is to get out of our comfort zone, as scary as it is to stand on the ledge and to look at that obstacle of a community, of a country, and a world that is full of darkness that communicates to us that you can't do that. That's not going to happen ever again. I'm believing that we will. What's your part? What is your part in these four steps today? Because this right here is where God wants to take you. And there's absolutely no obstacle that's staring you in the face this morning that can stop you from getting there. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we say that we love you, we adore you. And God, I'm not always going to articulate with the best of them. We're not going to always give in to society that says that we've got to have this or that in our building. Definitely not going to have leaders on this staff that fit the status quo or a mold. But one thing's for sure, Jesus, that all we want is to be full of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask you this morning, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Help us to move forward. Help us to break the chains of bondage in our life and help us to stare the evil one in the face and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That we claim the blood, that we claim victory over our lives, over our marriages, over our children, over our grandchildren, over our neighborhoods, over our workplaces, and that we stare obstacles also in the face, and we only look up while we're on our knees. We look up, we throw our hands up to you, and we ask you to help us overcome those obstacles, because that's the only way we can. We've tried, and we've tried, and we've tried, and we cannot do it in our own strength, in our own experiences, in our own ability. We surrender to you. May we stare at the nail-scarred hands of you, Jesus, as we ask for your help to overcome these obstacles. And it's in your extraordinary name that we continue to praise you today. Please do what only you can in our lives. Please move in a way that only you can in this place and beyond. And right now, that person that is even feeling the urge to come forward and fall on their face, but they fear what other people are going to think, I pray right now that you would release them, that they would be obedient, that they would step forward, that they would fall on their face wherever they're at. And God, whatever it is that person or a group of people in here today needs to confess in order to move forward, as scary as it looks without that in their life anymore, as uncomfortable as it might be, that they would not only confess it, but that they would claim the power of the resurrection over their life that says, with me, you can do all things. God, we love you and we thank you. Amen.